Welcome this morning. I'm glad that you're here. This may be the most unique sermon that you've ever heard me preach. Now, I know that that probably sounds a little scary considering you've seen me do a lot of things, but I've never done what we're going to do this morning with a congregation. So, in saying all that, I would like for you to be open this morning. And I want you to allow yourself to imagine and wonder and dream and maybe even fall asleep if that happens, right? So this is what I want you to do first. So what I want you to do is just shake your hands out. Shake your arms out. Get nice and relaxed, loose, right? Maybe reach over to the person next to you and rub their shoulder. Get them nice and relaxed. You know, they say that everybody needs physical touch, right? So that might be the only physical touch a person gets today. So that's a good thing, right? So this is what we're going to do. I'm going to start by telling you a story. I'm going to tell two stories this morning. The first story I'm going to tell is a warm-up. So we're going to do an exercise before we get to the big dance, okay? So the warm-up is going to be a story. And what I want you to do during the story is what's called imaginative listening. Imaginative listening, all right? So as we do that, imaginative listening is allowing yourself to actively imagine what you're seeing, even placing yourself in the story, feeling what you're feeling, even smelling. It's getting into a posture that's conducive to listening, whether that's walking around, or it could be laying down, it could be sitting, it could be putting your head forward, whatever that looks like for you. Sky's the limit this morning. I want to give you that opportunity. So I want you to do this. I want you to imaginatively listen with me. Now, as you do that, we also supply paper this morning for everybody. And in your row, you'll see in the ends, is a stack of paper. What I wanted to make sure is that everybody gets a sheet of paper. So everybody in your row needs a sheet. If you run out of paper, look at the row in front of you because they may have extras. So just make sure everybody's got a sheet of paper. And what you do with this paper is up to you. It's your call. If you want to draw, if you want to write, if you want to journal, if you want to make a origami butterfly, Adrian, I mean, we know you can do that, no pressure. But whatever you want to do this morning with that sheet of paper, I'm going to allow you to do that. But the key is open yourself up and allow yourself to really imagine. Okay, so now we're going to go into the story, the first story, and I want you to, again, get into that posture for what you're going to do in order to stay relaxed and listen to this story. You guys ready? All right, here we go. Imagine yourself walking through a field. The sun is at your shoulders, and there's a light breeze in your face. As you walk through the fields, you can hear the sound of a river as it makes its way through the back of the property. You're walking next to a stone wall that seems to be leading you to a large tree at the corner of the field. As you walk, the sun begins to slowly creep behind the hill, and the sounds of crickets and frogs begin to get louder. You make your way up to the tree and realize that it's a gorgeous apple tree with large, ripe red apples ready for picking. You take an apple from the tree, you brush it off, and take a large bite. The apple is so ripe that the juice begins to pour out of the corners of your mouth. You see a bench off in the distance that's facing the river that looks like the bench has been there for over 100 years. As you sit on the bench, the sky turns bright orange and purple as deep blues begin to form overhead. As you look out over the hills, the river, and enjoy that red, delicious apple with fireflies swirling around you, you wonder. All right, that's the end of the story. So now that we've all had a chance to take a small nap in service, I want to ask you now to help me in talking through what you just experienced. Now, this is the part of the message where you're going to be able to dialogue with me, and I want you to talk out loud, okay? So you have to realize that I was a youth pastor for many years. I'm not afraid of silence. So I'll end up just standing up here looking at you all until you share. In fact, my students, they would get to the point where I would stand up there so long, they would say, you know, he's just going to stand up there until we talk. And so they would end up just, you know, talking almost out of obligation. So I want you to really dialogue with me, and I want you to really share. Okay, so here we go. Here's a question. Someone share this morning, what did you see? What did you see? The wonder of God's creation. Awesome. Anybody else? What did you see?
God's paintbrush.
God's paintbrush. Wow, that's wonderful. I might need to add at this point, too, that we have our artist in residence, Rick, back here. And he is busy painting a new painting, a unique work. Even he did this in first service. And actually, he is just, we're letting him work, facing the opposite way so that he can just kind of focus on that. But we'll have a big reveal at the end of the service. So you'll be able to say, I don't even know what it looks like. So no pressure, Rick. So where were you? Where were you in your mind? You saw the wonder of God and his love surround you. Yeah. Yeah. It's awesome. What else? How many of you were in a farm? Oh, Adrian? Okay. Well, I mean, a lot of people raised their hands. You were in a farm, kind of a farm setting. How many of you was an open field, far as the eye could see? Yeah. Okay, good. Good. That's awesome. What season was it? Okay. All right, so let's do this. We'll do a poll. How many for you it was spring? All right. How many of you it was summer? Okay, and how many of you it was fall? Very good. How many of you it was winter? Yeah. Of course, Zach and Sean. The only two that miss the Illinois winter. So how did we get there, though? Why? What season was it for you? Like, why was that important for the season for you? There was apples. Yeah, there was apples, right? What were some of the descriptions of the area that helped you to form where you were at? Tell me some of that. It was grassy. There was a river. Say that louder. There was a stone wall. Anyone else? Sunset over the hills, green grass. You guys are doing great. This is awesome. The frogs and the crickets. Mary Jo?
I actually felt like it smelled spring.
You felt like you could smell spring. How many agree you actually could feel like you could smell something? Isn't that awesome? Okay, now here's a good question. How many of you, your mouth watered when we talked about biting into the red apple? Yeah, see that? Isn't it amazing that when you allow yourself to wonder, when you allow your imagination to take over, and you allow yourself to place yourself in the story, all of a sudden the story comes to life. Not even the sense, what this morning happened was I was just sharing words with you, and your body started to respond to these words. As I talked about the light breeze that hit your shoulders, maybe there was a chill that ran over your body. As I talked about eating the apple, all of a sudden your mouth began to water. Now here's the amazing thing. I wonder if this is the way God intends for us to really listen to his story. What if this is an opportunity and a way for us to truly listen with him? Okay, now I think you're ready for the story. And so what I want you to do now is take a posture that, again, is best for you, and I want you to really listen what's going on, okay? And then feel free to draw or to write or to do whatever that you feel most comfortable, but most importantly, I want you to do two things. Imaginatively listen, and I want you to hear this story for the first time, okay?
This first episode in God's story, called Creation, begins like this. Before anything existed, there was this amazing and mysterious being called God. While God was creating the earth, angels watched with amazement, singing together and shouting for joy. God created these beautiful angels to worship Him. But some of the angels rebelled against God and His ways. Any rebellion against God is called sin. God doesn't allow sin to remain in His presence. So He sent the rebellious angels into darkness on the earth to face final punishment later. Then God took the earth, which was dark and formless, and prepared it as a place for life. God's Spirit moved over the surface of the earth as He made light, separating it from the darkness. He divided the oceans from the sky. He gathered the waters so dry land would appear. He grew plants, flowers, and trees, all with seeds in them so they could reproduce themselves. He created the sun, the moon, and the stars, and then set days and seasons into motion. He filled the seas with fish, the sky with birds, and the earth with all kinds of wild animals. God put great care and creativity into all of His creation. God looked at this and said, "This is really good." After He had prepared the earth, God decided to create one more being, one who would be lower than the angels. God said, "We will make humans in our image to be like us. We will put them in charge of the earth, the plants, and all the animals in it." So God took dirt from the earth and formed this first human. Then God breathed His own breath into him, giving him life. This first human would be called Adam. God placed Adam in a beautiful garden where He provided everything he needed. God planted trees in this garden, all kinds of trees that produced delicious fruit, so Adam would always have plenty to eat. God gave Adam the responsibility of taking care of the garden and all the creatures in it. God even brought all the animals right to Adam so he could give them names. In the middle of the garden were two special trees, a tree of life and a tree that could give knowledge of good and evil. God told Adam, "You can eat of any fruit in the garden, except for one." God warned him, "If you eat the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will definitely die." Then God said, "It's not good for man to be alone. I'll make a partner who will help him." So God caused Adam to fall into a deep sleep. While Adam was asleep, God took one of his ribs and then closed up the place, his side, from where He had taken it. God used Adam's rib to form the first woman. When He brought her to Adam, Adam shouted, "At last!" Adam named his new companion Eve, which means giver of life. So God created both the man and woman to be like Him, created in God's own image. God blessed Adam and Eve with the ability to continue His creation by having children. God placed them in a close relationship as husband and wife, where they were devoted to each other. Although Adam and Eve were naked, they felt no shame. And God would come and spend time with the humans, walking with them in the cool of the day. They lived under God's care and protection, a life that was full and complete. As God looked over all His creation, He thought, "This is excellent in every way." After creating all of this, God rested. And God set aside a day of rest each week for all of His creation.
All right. So now we're going to get to talk about this. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to give you 2 minutes. I want you to take the paper that you have, and I want you to utilize it for going through the questions that you'll see up on the screen. So for 2 minutes, look at the questions, allow them to kind of guide you a little bit. So you're going to write, you can journal, you can draw, you can do whatever to kind of just process through these questions. Okay, so take a couple minutes, let's do that. Okay, we're going to go ahead and talk about the story now. And most of the questions that I'm going to ask are called wonder questions. So kind of, you know, what did you see in your mind? These questions are to engage your imagination, to help you put yourself back in the scene, back into the story. Now, one important guideline is that we're only going to talk about the details from this version of the story. So we're not going to jump ahead to Jesus, and we're not going to talk about things that we already know. We're only going to talk about kind of what we know right now as it pertains to this particular story. Now, this might seem difficult, but trust me, if we listen and respond to the story like it's the first time that we heard it, then we're going to be able to actually go deeper into the meaning of the story. And this also allows us to be equal in this discussion. Is there any questions before we get started? All right, so remember, this is audience participation. So when I ask a question, don't just look back at me. We want you to share, all right? So what did you see in your mind as you listened to the story? What did you see? Yeah, Derek.
I saw God taking the earth as a plate and forming it.
So you saw God taking the earth as if it was clay and forming it.
Very cool. Very cool.
What else? What else? What did you see?
I was just thinking about that first time the light just comes over the horizon and everything just flattened. You see that first little bit of light come across, just, you know, barrenness and just how awesome that was.
Yeah, that's cool. That's good stuff. What else? The world being created. Yeah, people, animals. I mean, stuff starts coming to life. Yeah.
Well, the animal loving that I am, I thought about all the different animals.
And you saw all the different animals, because you love animals, right? So you key in on that. That's good. That's good. Anyone else? What did you see? Stephen. You saw everything coming together from darkness into light. That's really cool. Very, very cool. So let me ask you this question. What did you notice for the first time in the story? What was something that stuck out?
There was no wall around the garden. I always pictured it with a wall.
Yeah, there was no wall around the garden. Very good. Bonnie?
God was walking daily with naked people.
Yes. Yeah. There's two really amazing facts there. Number one, that God was walking with humans. And number two, they were naked. Right? And unashamed. Unashamed. Yeah, Steve. You didn't know completely the start of the story.
Yeah. How?
The eight rites that were cast out of heaven. Yeah. And in fact, a lot of people, when we do this story, immediately there's that kind of question, like, wait a minute, I don't remember reading that. Well, the truth is, you have to read Psalm 104. Psalm 8. Nehemiah. Yeah, 8. Exactly. So the further judgment was going to come upon them after they were cast into nothingness. Yeah. Very good. Come back. Al, sorry.
The sheer joy that God experienced
in creating and in his creation.
Yes. The sheer joy that God experienced in the creating, in the aspect of creating, but then also the joy of the creation. Right? Very good. What did you wonder about? Like, if you could say, I wonder, how would you finish that statement? Yeah, Patty.
It actually made me wonder how God had his early creation in preparation for us, and he's only wondering what he's doing for us now.
Wow, did everybody hear that? So let's put this together. So the wonderment is, look at how much intensity he gave and how much creation he put into creating this. What is he doing now in preparation for the future, for eternity? Yeah?
Is it more the benefit, or is it good or bad that they ate from the tree?
Was it good or bad that they ate from the tree?
Yeah, because when we eat the tree from the tree, they don't have to pay us for gold, but if they did, then they choose to be different.
Exactly. So if they would have eaten from the tree, then they would have had to pay for clothes, right? So, but if they didn't eat from the tree, then they wouldn't have. So continue that again. If they didn't eat from the tree, life would be different for us right now. That is amazing. That's awesome. How many of you were surprised, or maybe didn't notice it before, the two trees? There were two trees. How close were these trees together? They were in the center of the garden. Now, probably there was multiple trees. There were probably both trees everywhere, but there were two that were distinct and special, and they were in the center of the garden. And it wasn't like that they were some far off or some other place. They were right there. And God gave the instruction for what? Don't eat from one. But what was his instruction for the other one? Eat from whatever tree you want. Just don't eat from this one. Amazing. So the tree of life is standing next to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Amazing, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, that makes me wonder, why were they not satisfied eating from all the other trees that they chose to go to one?
That's a great question. Why were they not satisfied to eat? They can eat from all the trees. So let me ask this question. Was it peaceful or was it chaotic? It was peaceful. It was very peaceful. Now, how did God make humans unique among his creation? What was different about the way he made humans? Say that again, Miriam?
They looked like him.
They looked like him? In his image. Right? What else? Candace? Awesome. He spoke everything else into existence and everything else into being, but with humans, he took his time. And he did something really particular. What was it? He breathed his own breath into them and gave them life. How cool is that? That's so awesome. So, I'm going to kind of skip ahead a little bit. What do you notice about God from the story? What do you notice about God from the story? He's very loving. Yeah. What else? He's imaginative, creative. What else?
He provides.
He's a provider.
Active.
Yeah, he's active in his creation.
Sometimes it's confusing.
Yeah, sometimes it's confusing, and he's confusing about, you know, we're putting all this in together in one location kind of thing. Yeah. Marianne?
He created, everything he created was perfect.
Everything that he created is perfect. Very awesome stuff. So the $1 million question for us this morning is, why are we talking about this morning? Right? Well, it has to go with our theme. Our theme today, Bystander Effect, which is the summer series that we're in, helps us to understand the next step, and the theme is facilitating. So I thought, instead of talking about facilitating, instead of talking about you know what we do in facilitating, I decided I was going to actually facilitate a discussion and show you the power of facilitating. So here's the thing. The reason this fits so well in this series is because the progression that we've seen on our quest to better understand evangelism. So when we look at evangelism, look at the series. Number week one, we started by noticing. You have to take into account, look at the people around you, to notice that there is a world that's happening around you and how engaged are you in that world. And then once you notice people and engage people, you begin to pray for them. You diligently pray and you seek God on how you can interact and potentially build relationships with people. And then week three, we talked about listening. It's better for us to listen to people versus just tell them what we always want them to hear. But listening, actively listening. And then asking questions. When we ask questions, we go to a deeper level with people in our relationship with them. And you have to remember, we're talking about more than just even our neighbors. We can be talking about family members. We can talk about relationships in general. I mean, how we can really live life out in its fullest. And then you go to loving. Showing great love to people around you. Right? And then welcoming. Actually bringing people in and showing them this love in action. Right, by welcoming them. And then facilitating, which is this week. And I'm going to go into more detail about why facilitating is so powerful and what the purpose is and why we're talking about that. And there's 2 weeks after that. Serving together and sharing. Notice we're sharing it. When we're talking about evangelism, we always tend to think that sharing becomes number one. So first thing that we do, right? And the truth is, we really want to be intentional and guided by the Holy Spirit. And if we really want to lean in on God and listen to how He's shaping and creating relationships with people, and the part that becomes natural, and it's the end, is sharing. Because once you've gone through all this, and you understand that there's a deep love, need, and satisfaction of loving God so much that you just want to share it with somebody, you want to make sure that they realize that they're just not pawns in some game, but that you are desperately sharing with them the good news. This gospel story. So, facilitating is the place where we begin to realize that we don't always have to tell people what we want them to know, but rather allow them an opportunity for self-discovery. Allow opportunity for self-discovery. It's more than just telling people what you want them to know, but it's allowing them to get to the place where they self-discover. And now here's the amazing thing about that. You did not learn anything from me in the retelling of the creation story. You didn't learn anything from Bill, who did a masterful job at sharing the story. Who did you learn from this morning? God, each other, the Holy Spirit guiding and working. All of you became participants in the teaching. It wasn't me just standing up here and saying, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and He split the heavens and the earth, and this is why. But instead, we told the story. We told the biblical account. And we were taught by children, by adults, by everybody in here. We all were participants in the story. And I love that. I think that's amazing. And that is the power of facilitating. That's the power of groups. And here's something that's even more interesting. We learn better in groups. In fact, the educational system has been modifying its own system to include more small groups and more center-style learning because they too realize that this doesn't work anymore. Didactic education and standing in front and just disseminating information to a person does not work anymore. There needs to be interaction. There needs to be more of a group dynamic. There needs to be a sharing of thoughts, ideas. And when you do that, then all of a sudden things become a little bit more tangible, a little bit easier to wrap with. So I have a question for you. Would your unsaved neighbor, or even unsaved friend or family member, would they be more comfortable going to your church or your house? Think about that. Would they be more comfortable going to your church or to your house? Now, if you're following on the YouVersion app, you can actually take that poll. You can answer that question. And so it would be interesting for us to see what that looks like. But think about it. I think we all know that the answer is that your unsafe neighbor, your unsafe loved one or friend, they would be way more comfortable going to your house than they would coming to church. Now, that's not to say that the church is mean or nasty, but you know what? Church for many, many people is incredibly intimidating. Because when people walk in, they're walking into an already established place. People already have friendships. There's already things that are formed. There's people already know each other. They know their stories. They're coming into this new. And so I think for us, we have to realize the dynamics of these opportunities. That our homes are more comfortable. They're safer places for people to be able to explore this deity of God, explore who God is and how He desires to change their life. Here's an even better news. This is the way Jesus taught. Although Jesus was a rabbi, most of his teachings came from outside the church. He didn't just do this. He didn't just stand up as a rabbi, read this from the scroll, and tell everybody what it said. Instead, it was always meant to be dialogue. It was meant to be a conversation. He taught his disciples as he walked along the road, as he sat, as he ate. When he was traveling, he was sitting around the campfire. He was teaching them on the edge of a cliff, under a tree, sitting at a well, and at a table. These are the places where Jesus taught. He didn't just stand up in front of them and just tell them what he wanted them to know. He taught them by utilizing life around them. The disciples, how often were they so frustrated? Because they would ask Jesus a question, and how would he answer? With another question. And they would always be like, oh, Jesus! You know? Just tell me the answer. And he would never tell them the answer. He would always give them more things to think about. Because he wanted them to get to the place where it became here, not just here. And so for us this morning, we are looking at the power of these moments. I mean, the parables were stories that had a point. He told these parables to make a point. But he did it because he wanted them to grapple with the story and to find the meaning. Understand that multiple times, there were multiple meanings to the same story. Because that was the power of Christ trusting the Holy Spirit will guide us into what? All truth. And the truth will do what? Set you free. Talk about freedom. Right? So turn with me to John chapter 1 as we kind of wind down here. John chapter 1, Jesus calls his disciples. And he does something pretty unique in this story. And I'm just going to read it real fast for you, but it's John 1, verses 35 to 39. And we're going to land on a part of the verse here that's really important. It says, the following day, John was at again standing with two of his disciples. As Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, look, there is the Lamb of God. When John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Jesus looked around and saw them following. What do you want? He asked them. They replied, Rabbi, which means teacher. Where are you staying? Look at Jesus' response. Come and see, he said. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they were with him to the place where he was staying, and they remained with him the rest of the day. Come and see. Come and see. They asked him, where are you going? Why are you going there? What are you going to do when you get there? And I want to know all this information because before I make a decision to follow you or not, you have to tell me all this. And what does Jesus say? Come and see. He wanted to use wonder. He wanted to use their thoughts and recognize that, man, it's a journey. It's a step of faith. It's understanding that you might not be able to necessarily grasp all of that at once. But I wonder how many times we're missing our come and see moment. I wonder if, you know, at work, you know, if somebody says, you know, Adam, where are you going? You can say to them, come and see. Right? He's totally going to use that in the office. But think about this. It might not be that dramatic. But what about the come and see moments of your life? Are you living in such a way that people, when they ask you, where are you going, you can say to them, come and see? Are we living in such a way, dynamically, in our neighborhoods, in our families, in the relationships around us, that we live these moments of come and see? You know, they hear about this wonderful church that you go to with this amazing pastor that just preaches unreal. It's just phenomenal. You know, they hear about that. But when was the last time you were like, you need to come and see? We're the worship band that's just so incredible, and the lead singer who's just got a voice like gold. But I mean, if you think about it, just being honest this morning, let's think about this realistically. We are the hope of the world. He is the hope of the world. He uses us to show that hope. And are we showing this world, come and see? Not just come and see here at Trinity, but come and see what this God has done in my life. Come and see that the resurrection isn't just a historical fact that happened thousands of years ago, but it happened for me and for you. Come and see the cross and the penalty that he paid for you and the fact that you are now redeemed. Come and see. I want to challenge you this morning. I want to challenge you to invite your friends to your home more than you invite them to church. Because if we're really going to be truthful about the impact that we can have on this world, I would love to see everybody's friends come here. I'd love to see our church to grow. And I think that is valuable. I think Scripture teaches that that's a good thing. But I think if we're really going to have the impact on the world around us, and in our families, and in our neighborhoods, we need to get people in our homes. They need to believe in us, and they need to trust us, and we're the conduit that leads them to Christ. So my challenge is, invite your friends, your neighbors, your loved ones, your family to your home more than you invite them to church. Because I think your witness is going to be even greater in that environment. And really, I ran completely out of time. But I want to just share with you that the research indicates that groups is where it's at. In fact, research actually shows us the difference between if you're in a group, a small group, or a kind of a life together group or a community, versus if you're not. And you can see the statistics, and this is by LifeWay Research, which is an incredibly trusted research company. They do research for CNN, for World News, for USA Today. And it's trusted. But there are power in groups. This is the way that we learn. This Sunday morning, 1 hour a week is not enough. This is not enough. And the statistics actually show that. Biblical knowledge. There's statistics that prove and show that biblical knowledge, getting into the Word, praying, having a satisfied relationship in your life and also in your relationship with God are all heightened and become deeper when you're in a group versus just congregation. And so my view, my hope, my opinion for us is that we will be a community that recognizes the power of groups. I think it should look maybe a little bit like this. We have the Sunday morning gathering. And I don't want to take anything away because Scripture tells us do not stop meeting as some have become accustomed to. That's Hebrews 10:24. Don't stop meeting together as some have chosen. Because this is important. Corporate worship is important. Worshiping as a body, as a believers, and together is important. But you can't stop there. That's only one part of the journey. The next part of that journey is being in a life group, or being in a small group, or getting into a Sunday school class, or getting into a deeper level. Many of you that struggle with relationships at church, I can point out the fact that you're not in a group. I can point that out to you. Because that is the next level of our relationship with God, is to do life together with people around you. And so we have the life groups, and they're focused on growing each other. But then we also have the last part of that, which I think is the most dynamic part. Because the groups that just stay like this and inward are not going to really, they're going to help each other. But then there needs to be this explosion, this outward. Taking this story and sharing it out and then basically, you know, creating these opportunities in our homes and in our neighborhoods. So we have the Sunday service and then getting into a life group and getting into a small group or a group in general or a Sunday school. I mean, it's more than just one particular thing, but it's important. And then after that, it's not just staying there, it's doing something. It's getting out into the world around us. So as we close this morning, I'd just like to pray, and I'm going to ask Pastor Terry Beth to come. She has a special announcement to share with us. Gracious Lord, I thank you for the power of your word. I thank you for the power of being able to demonstrate what facilitating looks like, and the fact that you know, it's great to have pastors who teach and share, but even more important, Lord, it's powerful to recognize that your Holy Spirit guides us in all truth. So help us, Lord, as we continue to move throughout this week, and help us, Lord, to be able to recognize maybe the power of getting involved in a group that will help us to continue to grow deeper in our relationship with you. So again, we just give you honor and praise for these things in Jesus' name.